Welcome to another episode from Elvis the Ultimate Fan Channel. As you know, I broadcast a live Elvis show on YouTube every Sunday. Each week we discuss a different Elvis-related topic. This week, the topic was the meeting between Elvis and the Beatles in 1965. Elvis fans called the show to give their opinions on the topic. I also ran a poll asking, how do you think Elvis felt in private about the Beatles? The options were, he respected them, he was wary of them, or he felt indifferent towards them. You will hear the result of that poll at the end of this podcast. So sit back, relax, and listen to the opinions of the callers to the show. Hi, Brent.
Hey, Steve, how you doing? Elvis is everything on this thing, and it's part of our Sunday, and you helped make it happen, and thank you for that. But before I got into the Elvis deep dive, I was a Beatle maniac.
And oh, right.
So I kind of have an interesting perspective. With the poll, I think Elvis, even though he probably didn't like, first of all, no one wants to be dethroned. But I think at the same time, you could still respect the hell out of the person that dethrones you. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like not personal. I just wish I could tap into what they're tapping to kind of get, because I think there was a difference because they were kind of charting their own course and Elvis felt like he was having to do material that other people were forcing him to do. And that's got to be very daunting.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree. So, I mean,
and I think he liked them. I do. I really.
So you would have said respected them then. Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Because I think there might have been a little bit of that generational, like, okay, I've been there. These kids are a few years younger than I am. A little resentment about his place. But a lot of times in that world, it's not personal.
Yeah.
Sort of like when Dylan beats all of us at the contest. We don't like that he beats us, but we still love him.
I'm struggling what I'm going to have to do to stop him. You know, I mean, can you tell me and can you send me an email, right, what his weak subject is, please, if there is one?
Oh, that's what you got to do. You got to analyze his weakness and then strike. No, because it's not going to be jumpsuits, I'll tell you that much. But I'll tell you what. So, Steve, when they went and visited Elvis that day.
Yeah.
It was like a pilgrimage for them. And I remember reading in some obscure source, I can't lend to the veracity of it, that John Lennon suggested to Elvis, I love you. I wish you got back more into who you really are.
Yeah, that's right.
Like something along those lines, not literally, but something along. I think the Beatles, we see Elvis through historical lenses, you know, the legend and all that. But I think from their point of view, it's sort of like you have someone you idolize and whatever reason you don't like the direction you're taking, even though I think his post-Army early recordings, anything he put out in 60 to 62 was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, his voice was just absolutely fabulous after he came out of the Army. Absolutely brilliant.
Oh, gosh. Not only that, but think about it. His voice matured since he got back from the Army. The technology in the studio was enhanced. Yeah. So he was able to put out stereo recordings now. It was a lot of massive technological leaps in that short time. It was a very exciting time in Elvis's history.
Why do you think that John said something like that then about Elvis died when he went into the Army? Do you think that John sometimes spoke without thinking sometimes?
Well, first of all, John was a shock. He loved being provocative.
Yeah,
that was part of his shtick.
Yeah.
And when you say Elvis died in the Army, they're looking at it from, because I think the Army, this is where I think the paths diverged, because rock and roll has always been about screw the establishment, raise hell. And Elvis will always walk two different lines, because Elvis raised hell, but Elvis was also very patriotic.
Yeah.
And so his patriotism serving for the Army to them, from their perspective, seemed very anti-rock and roll. So they're going to see that as him selling out to a degree, that he's becoming more loved by people in the mainstream. And every band gets accused of that when they start becoming more universally liked.
You know, something else that John said as well is he said the only person we wanted to meet when we went to America was Elvis. And then he sort of added, but I don't think he wanted to meet us. So they must have got a feeling maybe that he wasn't that enamored with them, you know.
Well, no, but first of all, too, I hate when people say, oh, Elvis, I've heard this so many times, Elvis treated them like crap when they came. No one stays for 4 hours if you're being a jerk.
No. He didn't. No,
you know, if I went to your house, Steve, and you just threw coffee at me, I wouldn't be like, well, 3 hours later, we were talking. Well, no.
Exactly.
So anyway, great topic. I'll let you get to the other callers.
Yeah, and I just want to say
awesome stuff.
I just want to say to anybody that's listening, please, this is Brent from Elvis Nation. If you haven't checked out his superb YouTube channel yet, please. You won't regret it. Elvis Nation.
The check's in the mail, Steve.
Thank you very, very much.
For that. Thank you.
All the best.
All right.
Bye.
Take it easy.
Bye.
Bye.
What a fantastic call. Yes, Brent, Elvis Nation, do yourself a favor and check it out if you haven't already checked it out. Now, stand by, Dylan. It's going to be your turn next, and I'm intrigued to know, what are you going to say, buddy? How are you doing?
Well, first of all, I stand by what you said. Brent has got the best channel, bar none. It's not even close, so please, everyone, go subscribe to Brent.
Yes, yeah, I know, and I'm not trying to be sort of was ingenuous when I say that. Is that the right word or whatever? But I really do believe that the stuff that he puts out every week, week in, week out, is just great. Elvis Nation, check it out.
Brent is the best at what he does.
Yeah, exactly.
The type of content that Brent puts out, he's the best.
He doesn't do the same as I do anyway. He doesn't really do many live shows. He doesn't do call-in shows like this. So we're not sort of stepping on each other's toes anyway. But yeah, I agree. Great channel, Elvis Nation. Now, you're going to get a check as well off Brent by the sounds of it.
Well, I mean, I should be in debt by now, but you know, all the checks he sent me.
Exactly, yeah. Now, Elvis and the Beatles, what do you think?
I think they respected him because if you listen to the type of music that they were doing pre-1963, a genre called skiffle music, that was all influenced by Elvis. Elvis, Lonnie Donegan, Tommy Steele, all those kind of people.
Yeah.
There'd be no Beatles if it wasn't for Elvis.
Well, I mean, even John said that, didn't he? And Paul, without Elvis, there would have been no Beatles. When they heard Heartbreak Hotel, that was it.
Yeah. And plus, not only that, if George didn't respect Elvis, he wouldn't have gone to see him.
Yeah, well, again. This is it. Yeah.
At MSG.
And don't forget, nobody's mentioned this yet, including me. Elvis recorded some of the Beatles songs. And of course, as we know, the Beatles sang Elvis as well.
I know. And he even said, you know, this is a song that I really like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what we got? We got Hey Jude, Yesterday, Something. Yeah.
Get Back.
Get Back.
A Little Bit of Get Back.
Yes, that's right. Get Back, yeah. And if somebody knows any more, please ring in and let me know. Because my mind's gone blank.
Yeah, Old Age.
Yeah. Old Age is right. So you've obviously voted respect them.
Yeah, because I think, I don't think they've seen any competition. I feel like Elvis maybe kind of heard maybe something like From Me To You or something. Maybe they're like, all right, this is the type of music that's coming out. But I'm not going to follow trends. I'm going to set trends.
Yeah.
Is what I'm good at. Mm-hmm.
Do you know, I've just thought of another one as well. He did a Lady Madonna jam, didn't he?
In Lake Tahoe.
Yeah. And he did one in the studio as well, didn't he?
He did. But Steve, I've done it again. What? I've absolutely done it again.
What's that?
I've played a blinder.
Go on.
On my part. I have found out something I never knew.
Hey, well, go on. I probably don't know it then.
And everyone is going to be slapping their heads because they're going, Dylan, how did you not know this? I genuinely did not know this, right? So, you know, in That's the Way It Is, obviously, that little known movie called That's the Way It Is.
That little known movie, That's the Way It Is.
Yeah. So you know that blue suit that he's wearing walking through the hotel and stuff?
Yeah.
For about 15 years, I thought that was a one-piece jumpsuit.
Right.
It wasn't until I saw Matt Stone's video about the photo shoot with him and Priscilla and Lisa, right? And he said that it's the same one as that outfit. Now, here's where it gets funny. I was like, how can you fit a light blue shirt over a one-piece jumpsuit? Turns out, I had a stupid moment. It's not a one-piece. It's a two-piece.
Is it a two-piece? So I'm like, right.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right, that explains why he's got a blue shirt underneath it.
And is it noticeable when you watch the footage once you know?
Once you know, you can't see it.
Right.
It's one of them.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, I'm gonna have to watch that footage now after the show.
Yeah, it's even tied. You know, like where the waist is.
Yeah,
there's like a gold ribbon thing,
right?
Or lace, or whatever it's called, and you tie it.
It's great. I love talking to you every week because you always give us something to check out that week.
No, but see, here's the thing: the things that I tell you to check out, because everyone here is like got like decades on, like more decades than me experience, they probably know all this stuff anyway.
Not necessarily.
And like, that's what's cool about, I guess, me being the youngest. It's like I give information that people have already known like decades ago.
Yeah. And you squirrel stuff out, you know, and you root it out, you winkle it out. And then, you know, you can be very, very knowledgeable and you can be very informative to the uninitiated, you know, and the younger fans and the fans coming through. And as I say, you know, we can't know it all. I mean, I've learned stuff off you already. So
no, well,
take my hat off to you.
Well, like people say, oh, like, you know so much knowledge. But here's the thing. Every person that knows knowledge has got a friend that knows knowledge.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's silly in my case.
And I also find that people have areas of expertise with Elvis. I mean, your area of expertise, as far as I can tell, is everything. No, I mean, your area of expertise is jumpsuits.
well, jumpsuit names.
Yeah.
If someone says to me, all right, what suit did Elvis wear at Atlanta, Georgia in 1975? Would not have a clue.
Yeah.
Would not have a clue.
You did well tonight. You got two. Anyway, you were looking good. I thought you were going to go for the full six again, but Brent and Vincenzo and Duncan stopped you in your tracks.
Oh, I've just come up with another thing, and I'm sorry because I'm hauling bad people.
You're okay. You're okay.
So I was watching a Beach Boys documentary.
Oh, yeah.
And it was talking about Brian Wilson.
Yeah.
And I remember this story that I read somewhere that in 1976 or somewhere around there, Beach Boys were doing a song or something. Evan Ellis just comes walking in and goes, hey, what are you doing? And he goes, oh, we're doing a song. And Brian Wilson goes, hey, do you want to sing on the song? And Ellis is like, no, it's all right.
Yeah, I actually heard that story, actually. I thought it was in the 70s, but you said it was the 60s, was it?
No, 76.
Oh, it was 76. I beg your pardon. I thought you said 66. I beg your pardon.
Apparently.
Yeah.
But see, again, don't take people, do not take my word for it. I wasn't there.
No.
I wasn't even thought of when this was happening. I don't know.
Right. Dylan, thanks very, very much indeed. And I'll look at that footage again after the show. Dylan always gives us plenty of things to check out, doesn't he, every week? Hi, Vio.
Hey.
It's lovely to hear your voice again.
I never miss your show, but sometimes it's on a rewatch. It's not live.
Ah, yes.
So I apologize for that.
Listen, people have lives outside of my channel. No, I just appreciate that they watch on catch up as well as live. So what would you like to say about the Beatles?
I was wondering, when did John Lennon said the army thing?
The what?
The army.
Oh, quote, yeah. I think people might correct me, but I think it was near the end. I think it was one of the last interviews he gave in 1980 to the BBC, that Elvis died when he went in the army. I'm pretty sure it was something like that. It was in the 70s. It was after Elvis died because, you know, people were saying about, oh, you know, Elvis died in 77. And he said, oh, yeah, but Elvis died when he went into the army. So, yeah, as far as I know, it was late 70s or 1980. Of course, we lost John in 80. So, but I mean, what do you think about some of the things that he said about Elvis?
Well, it was exaggeration, I believe. But like Brent said, this guy wanted to exaggerate stuff so he can draw attention to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he succeeded most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people said that John could be controversial for controversial sake. You know, he would say things to be inflammatory. Of course, one of the big errors he made was he said that they were more popular than Jesus. And I don't think he really meant it in the way it was taken, but of course it was taken out of context and it did cause an awful lot of trouble for the Beatles in the mid to late 60s when he said that.
Yes, but take it as a joke and as a bit of reality at that time. Maybe with even today, some people are more famous than Jesus.
Yes, I know what you mean. I mean, he meant it more in a sort of a downfall of Christianity values, I think he meant, didn't he? Of course, and it was a big, long interview. That was only one comment from a big, long interview. But of course, unfortunately, the media seized on that that comment. And it was quite a while afterwards as well. I mean, I think it was 6 or 7 months after he'd given that interview that they seized on that.
Because if he would have said this in the 60s, maybe 65, 66.
Yeah.
After all, not so good movies, I would have understood better.
Yeah. In private, how do you think Elvis felt about the Beatles?
I really don't know, but I believe that he respected everyone.
Yeah.
Until they that person proved that doesn't deserve the respect. So by default, respect everyone. I believe that was his education.
Mm. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. His mother and father brought him up to be respectful of everybody. I mean, there was a case of him saying that he thought they were disruptive for the youth of America and they were bad for America. Now, I'm not even sure whether Elvis did say that.
But this is a live interview with him when he said that?
I'm not even sure where that comment came from. I read it in a few books. But again, what is the source for that? We don't know.
Yes, what is the source and the context and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe Elvis respected every other artist.
So you would have voted on the poll and respected them?
Yeah, and that doesn't mean that he's not worried. You can also be worried and respect.
Yeah. I never thought of that. He could have been both. He could have respected them but also been wary of them. Yeah, I never thought of that. Very, yeah. That's a good point. Alrighty.
And thank you for the photos. Great photos from Perugia Way.
Yes, very, very good, isn't it? Yes, some really, really good fan photos. And it's a beautiful house now that stands on it, isn't it?
Yes, it's a beautiful house, but it would be better if the old house was there. But
yeah, because unfortunately, again, it's sort of part of Elvis that's now no longer with us because it's been, it's been knocked down. But I mean, I can see why. It would have been very dated now anyway, but there you are. All right, Vio, thanks very much. It's lovely to hear your voice again. Thanks for calling in and thanks for your support.
Have a nice evening. Bye.
Same to you. Bye-bye. Okay, we move on and we say, Mark, if you want to stand by.
Steve.
Hiya, how are you?
I'm all right. You? You're not too well, are you? You're not too good.
Well, listen, I'm probably making more of it than what it is. You know, it's probably just a heavy cold.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, we've all had them.
Yeah.
Great show. Yeah, the poll, I think he respected the Beatles.
Do you?
Yeah, I think so. I think what he said in the interview in 72, didn't he? You know, when someone said to him, you know, he respects all artists, you know, the music. It's not a person he would slag off or anything like that. You know, he respected everybody in the music industry, and I think he did.
Yeah.
You know. Probably when the Beatles came to meet Elvis in 65, it probably wasn't the best year for Elvis. Obviously, the movies were getting started to be a little bit downhill. He was probably getting a bit depressed about that. Chart history and the music wasn't as good until probably 66, 67 when he started doing some more great recordings, you know.
Yeah.
It's a shame the Beatles never met him in 68. Say if he'd have done the 68 comeback special, and then the Beatles went to see him there was a lot to talk about then, wouldn't there?
Yeah, yeah, that's for sure.
I still quote on that, there wouldn't have been the Beatles without Elvis, definitely, because you've only got to take their first album. It's all rock and roll, you know, it's all Elvis-related in a way, you know, yeah. It's all upbeat, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely appreciated their music because as I was saying to Dylan earlier on, he recorded and sang some of their songs.
Yeah, recorded their songs. So that you know, and that says it all. And he did. He kept something in his repertoire for quite a while, didn't he? From 70 to about 73.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Yesterday was a great version he did in 69, and you know, the little mix with Hey Jude as well.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. But I think he respects them and. You know, I suppose at that time, you know, he must have known about, it wasn't just the Beatles, but, you know, there's a Dave Clark Five, the Rolling Stones, all the groups were all over the charts then.
Mm.
You know, the groups were more outweighing the solo artists at the time, wasn't they, in the mid-60s?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, good point. Good point. So why do you think then that John said some of the things that he did? Are you like the other people that just sort of sound bites and just to get a reaction, do you think?
Yeah, I think John was a bit like that. Yeah, tongue-in-cheek at times. You know, to say Elvis died in the army was strange, you know, because all the stuff he did straight after the army was all success. And, when you think about it, you know, the Beatles copied Elvis in a lot of ways. They even copied him trying to get into the movies themselves, didn't they?
Yeah.
They all did it. You know, they all did it. You know, they all copied Elvis. You know, they could see the success of his movie career.
A Hard Day's Night was sort of tongue-in-cheek, and Help was as well.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I didn't like one Beatles film ever.
No, I wasn't.
They talk about Elvis films to Beatles, and I speak to people and say, God, Elvis was, the films were, you know, were 9 out of 10 compared to the Beatles 2 out of 10. It was just like, you know, it's just, they were just silly, but they were cashing in on the time, wasn't they?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And they were the hot topic at the time in the mid-60s, you know, so, but they never had the career that Elvis had, so.
No, and they have acknowledged that without Elvis, they wouldn't have had a career. So they do owe a lot to him. Now, just changing the subject slightly, I saw a video of a very, very happy Mark Green the other day holding an Elvis belt. That's a great video. You look like that smile's going to sort of separate your head in half. This is at the Arches, isn't it?
Yeah, the Arches. Yeah, it's a great response. I did the white glove and got the chance to hold the 669 microphone and the gold belt. It's great to you know, to get your hands on them, a piece of history, and it's not nice to know. Like I said to you, it's going to be extended now to the end of September. It looks like it's doing well, and that's great, isn't it? You know,
yeah, so. It just goes to show how popular he still is, you know, because I mean, to think it was only supposed to last for 3 or 4 months, and now it's going to run for at least 12 months.
Well, I said to you, didn't I, with the new the concert being announced in London in November, there's a good chance it's going to stay on, and I think Elvis will be in the public eye a lot from midsummer now to Christmas, because you'll have all this new AI stuff, the concert being announced.
Yeah.
You'll have publicity everywhere. So that's great again for
Elvis.
And
then we've got the Elvis on tour stuff to look forward to as well.
Yeah, well, we're just waiting for the next announcement on that, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I heard off a site that somebody said that all them concerts were filmed, at least four of the six were completely filmed all the way through.
Yeah.
And Baz has seen them.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was a way of making sure that they never ran out of film, but they'd start the cameras staggered, so there was always be an overlap. Great. Can't wait for it.
Yeah. Cheers, Dave.
Cheers, Mark. All the best. Bye-bye. Bye. Okay, we move on. Hi, Priscilla. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Steve. And you?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear you're under the weather.
Ah, you know. Listen, come on over and you can mop my fevered brow.
Well, I tell you, thanks for showing up, though, Steve. That's all I can say. Thanks for showing up.
The show must go on.
Your efforts are being greatly appreciated on an ongoing basis.
Thank you very, very much. You're very kind. So I know you've got lots of things to say about Mr. John Lennon and the Beatles.
I sure have. I'm going to apologise in advance to Brent, okay?
Oh, right, okay.
Because there is no Beatlemania in my neck of the woods.
Oh, right. I mean, I can take him or leave him, you know.
I have to tell you, I don't know why. It never floated my boat. Never. And it's a bit like what Mark said too. I never watched the Beatles movie through because I could never bring myself to endure it. And that's what it was, an endurance rather than an experience.
Yeah.
That isn't to say that I don't appreciate that they had a huge and still have a huge following. But yeah. I was never attracted to their music.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. Now, I suppose a lot of the things, and like, you know, I'm always trying to find the positives in things, Steve. A lot of the things that are now quoted that John Lennon said, or Elvis did, or they're all taken out of context. And neither of those people are here to fight their own corner, for want of a better description. And so I think that what we're, the information we're being fed now are just little soundbite snippets. They are taken out of context in a lot of situations. So I don't give them any weight, yeah, really, if yeah. that's, you know. I think when you take something out of context, you can make it have any connotation you'd like.
Yeah. Well, as I was saying earlier on about the Jesus remark that John made, I mean, that was just one remark in a big, long interview. And probably when he said about Elvis died when he went into the army, he probably said a lot more than that, but they just picked up on that part.
Well, I suppose maybe, and there's lots of things I can't even begin to think it, but I suppose there was a change in Elvis when he came back from the army. He wasn't the new thing then. There was more new things. And the reality is, and the basis of the Beatles and a lot of other of these bands, you know, Bowie, I don't know, the Stones, all of them attribute Elvis to be a major influence in their lives. And so for that, Elvis is always going to be number one, isn't he, Steve?
Yes, for me he is. Yeah, he'll never be replaced.
The stats speak for themselves that what bands we are now still acclaiming are saying that he is the reason they were who they were and who they became and why they became what they did. So yes, you know, he's always, now do they have a place in rock and roll history? Of course they do. And there are people as avidly excited by the Beatles as I am about Elvis. And I can stand here and say I understand that, but it doesn't float my boat. And for that, I hope that I'm not offending any Beatle fans.
Ah, no,
by saying that, because that isn't my intention. Yeah, I'm not saying that to be controversial. It's my honest opinion. Yeah. Their music never floated my boat. There's lots of other bands that I never followed either.
What do you think that Elvis felt privately about them?
Yeah, so I think that I may have misinterpreted your question earlier, but now that you've said it again, I haven't. So privately, I think he was wary.
Oh, right.
I do think he was wary. Now, that isn't to say I don't think he respected them.
Uh-huh.
But if we go back to that statement that we hear, and, you know, regularly Elvis doubted or didn't want to be forgotten or wondered how long he would be where he was or how long he'd be remembered. Elvis mania was taken over by Beatlemania. I imagine that they were the new young blood, and that was that may very well have been an instigator for Elvis's, I suppose. Everybody wants to, yeah, somebody said earlier, dethrone the king. Or,
oh, yeah, everybody wants to knock somebody off the pedestal, yeah.
No, and I don't think that's, you know, what they wanted to do, but I think that's how it may have felt to Elvis. And, you know, though every career has, you know, peaks and troughs, and at the time that they were, you know, belting away at that stage, he was stuck in that terrible cycle of movies. So he wasn't the best version of himself.
Yeah.
And was it Mark said there that wouldn't it have been great if he'd met the Beatles after 68.
Exactly.
It would have been a different meeting altogether.
Yeah, of course it would.
So, I mean, every career has peaks and troughs.
Yeah.
And I suppose the reason I believe he was wary of them is, yes, he could see that he was no longer, you know, or that there was new bands coming up and they were experiencing the same levels of success and mania that he had in his early career and was continuing to do so. So I think, yes, I think he's a human being. And I always say this, and the thing that fed my love for Elvis is that humanitarianism in him and the human side of him, the fact that he was human and that he did have faults, failings, and he did think, and we need to forget that he's Elvis the musician and remember that he's Elvis the man behind it as well. That's which, right, in turn helps Elvis the musician. But I think that he had all of those insecurities, and, you know, lots of his life partners have said the same, you know, through interviews with Linda Thompson and Ginger and my namesake. He worried about being forgotten. He felt lonely. He, you know, everybody knew who Elvis the musician was, but not lots of people knew who Elvis the man,
mm-hmm,
was.
Mm-hmm.
So I think on that basis, yes, he would have been wary by the success he saw the Beatles experiencing. Yeah. But that isn't to say that I wouldn't have also answered, yes, he respected them.
Yeah, see, this is it. You see, he could have respected them, but also been wary of them, couldn't he? Yeah. Never thought of that.
And that's what I genuinely think, Steve. Mm. Do you know? Oh, and right. I think that the situation as we see it now is with the benefit, and I've said this to you before on numerous occasions, the benefit of 2020 hindsight.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And people who are not here to defend what may have been misquoted or taken out of context, and that has a reflection on the individual. So I'm not going to go bashing John Lennon for that comment, because there's no point. I don't think we should bash anybody.
No.
I think we should all kind of coexist peacefully and in the wonderful harmony that listening to that man's music brings us.
I agree. It's always lovely to hear you. You've been off the scale for a few weeks, but it's lovely to have you back.
Thanks, Steve. I've had a bit of a family situation going on. I have a sick relative, and taken up a lot of my time. So I have watched on catch up, and I have actually, you know what I've learned the benefit of watching it on catch up is you actually get to read all the comments, and they're so funny.
True, yeah.
And if
you're watching it on catch up, anybody, don't forget to take part in the quiz as well, just for fun, because, you know, I always forget to say that.
Oh well, now here, what dub on. Lads, don't bother. It's not worth it.
Okay.
With dynamic Dylan and all the knowledge that exists out there, I just enjoy, you know, being here and shouting at it. That's what I enjoy.
All righty. Cheers, Priscilla.
Thanks, Steve. Right,
have a good week. Have a good week. Bye.
You too, babe. You too. Bye-bye.
Right. Okay. I've got to take a call here, actually, because I saw one coming in, and I when I was talking to Priscilla, obviously I wouldn't want to cut Priscilla off, so I was seeing if I can raise this person. It's ringing anyway. I hope you can hear me.
Hello.
Is that Cheeky Juan?
Yeah,
how are you doing?
I led everybody like the good. I was like the Pied Piper tonight, leading everybody.
Yeah, everybody thought
$75,000.
Yeah, everybody thought I was going to say how much did the charity concert raise, and everybody was typing 75,000, 75,000, and that wasn't even the question.
No.
How are you?
That was so good. Really good. Yeah, it was a great show.
Thanks
great
very show. Much. So what are you doing with yourself these days? You're busy on the touring circuit, yeah?
Yeah. We've just got a couple of days off now, and then I go straight out to Benidorm for I got a couple of days break out there, which is nice. So hopefully I can work on a little tan, you know?
Yeah.
A sort of Paradise Hawaiian style.
Ah, that's what you need.
Yeah, I know. But what you didn't see on the thread further down was I just wrote the word Steve Binder, and I said after that, that's the answer to next week's question one in the quiz.
There probably will be one now on Steve Binder now, thinking about it. Listen, have you got any thoughts on this John Lennon and the Beatles and what Elvis thought of them?
What I wanted to comment on was that I haven't heard you mention the particular songs that that Elvis had covered. All of them, because I became a bit of a Beatles historian when I was a teenager, you know. So it just like Brent earlier, I sort of had a great love for both camps, you know, for the Beatles and Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting to me that, so I studied particularly the both of them, the front runners, you know, John and Paul, because I'm a songwriter myself. They were my primary influence as a songwriter, you know. But I noticed that Elvis, if you look at all those songs, even the little dash of, what did you say, Lady Madonna that he did.
Yeah.
Every one of those songs, interestingly enough, were Paul's. They were all Paul's. Hey Jude was Paul's. Except of course for the Beautiful Something, which wasn't which was George's.
Yeah.
So what was I point this out to a lot of Elvis fans, that strangely enough, from Elvis's covering of their catalogue, John's songs are conspicuously absent. Now I don't think that's because he disliked John. The other comment that I believe Elvis would have, if he'd spent more time with the Beatles and they with him, I believe that they would have been really, really firm friends, because I've been told by a number of people that when Elvis ever got onto the, because Elvis had everything first, and if there were videotapes, he'd be the first to have them. He was the first to have a phone in the car.
That's right.
But Charlie Stone told me once, he said, oh, Elvis, when Elvis used to get onto the Lisa Marie, he'd like nothing better than either watching Peter Sellers, the Clouseau films, you know, the Pink Panther films, or the madcap humor of the Monty Python team.
That's right, yeah.
Now, that was something the Beatles really loved. So I think that they would have been firm friends had they spent more time together, because, A, they shared a love, you know, of all that old R&B music. They loved Elvis. And I think, quite rightly, like Priscilla said earlier, that all these soundbite things, and with the fact that John, yes, he used to like to shoot his mouth off.
Yeah.
I think that all that is pure hyperbole. And I think they would have been the firmest of friends, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm sure they, just like Tom Jones said he would, I'm sure they would have shown him around the UK proudly, you know, and developed a great friendship. But having mentioned the songs, which were all Paul's, there is a school of thought that says that Paul was more geared to the melodic.
Yeah.
And so Elvis's love for melody perhaps drew him more to the Yesterdays and the Hey Judes. And, you know, of course, George's Something is a beautifully melodic song.
Oh, yeah.
But I, as an Elvis fan, I used to veer towards John's songs as a Beatles fan. So I think Elvis would have done a great job on somewhere like Nowhere Man, or In My Life, which is my favorite Beatles song,
mm-hmm,
of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'd have done a great version of Revolution, or You Say You Want a Rebel. I think Elvis would have really nailed that song, you know. And they are all John's. So my one regret about Elvis and the Beatles situation is that Elvis didn't tackle one of John's songs, you know, because mainly by the mid-60s, they were writing their own songs. And maybe John would contribute a line to Paul's, or maybe Paul would contribute a line. But they were individual writers.
Oh yeah,
by about 65, you know.
You can always tell which is a John song and which is a Paul song. Definitely,
you can, can't you?
Yeah,
and obviously they would sing the lead vocal on their own song.
Yeah.
So, and that's what I think, you know, just to I've taken a while to answer it, but I do believe that Elvis had the utmost respect for the Beatles, you know, and I think a lot of it is aftermath was of the hyperbole, you know.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
You know, I don't think Elvis was a hypocrite. I certainly know that he wasn't, and a lot of the comments about that he didn't really want the Beatles to come in with the drug situation, and now they endorsed drugs, you know. The Beatles maintained that even John, in his comments about Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, he said, that's not in reference to LSD. That my little boy came home with a drawing, and he had a friend called Lucy in school, Julian Lennon.
Yeah.
And the drawing was, he said, it's Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. And it was, and it, it, you know, I've always believed John about that, you know.
Yeah, but some enterprising journalist thought, oh, LSD. Oh, we know what that's really about, don't we?
Exactly. So it's just my opinion, of course, and my opinion doesn't count for much. But I believe a lot of words were put into Elvis's mouth about the Beatles. I think he thought they were extremely talented. And having said himself once famously, I couldn't write a song if my life depended on it. Elvis always being this beautiful, humble self, of course.
Yeah.
He would recognize their massive songwriting ability, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, none of them were gifted with a voice like Elvis, none of the four of them, you know. Ringo could crank out the odd tune like Yellow Submarine, you know. And George had a pretty decent voice, and of course the two main front runners.
Yeah.
But I think they all would have deferred to Elvis. His vocal stature was absolutely second to none. You know, there's rivals there.
They've said as much. They idolized him, like, you know.
Yes.
It was. I think in a way it was John just manipulating the media, saying the things he said about Elvis.
I'll try a little John Lennon impersonation for you now, because he said when they asked me for a comment, I said, well, I'll say now what I said then, that Elvis died when he went in the army. So it was like in 77, they just wanted the comment from Elvis. John, Paul always used to say, oh, John used to like to shoot his mouth off, you know.
Yeah, he did.
John was like that. He blew hot and cold, you know, and said a lot of things he didn't mean at the time. They just popped out of his mouth.
Exactly.
That's the character he was.
Yeah, he was.
But, if you saw the interview with, there's a quick interview with David Stanley, Elvis's youngest stepbrother, the youngest of the Stanley brothers. And he said one time that the Beatles, when they came to play Memphis, they tried to call on Elvis there. But, just John and somebody else, you know. Mm-hmm. They went up to Graceland, and David was living there at the time, was a small boy, and he said John was actually shaking in his boots, you know, like, is Elvis there, you know. He was because John was the real Paul was primarily a more of a Buddy Holly fan, but John Lennon was the really big Elvis fan in the Beatles. He was the one who absolutely adored him, you know. And so there's no greater evidence of the fact that John would blow hot and cold. How can a man who says it was one of the great meetings of our lives, John said that, you know.
Yeah, he did.
But he also said, by the same token, in another interview, he said, Elvis was just like Engelbert Humperdinck, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Like, yeah.
He'd become like a lounge singer to the, you know. You know what I'm trying to say, don't you? That was John, you know.
It was depending on his mood on the day, I think.
Yes, that's you just nailed it, Steve. Yeah. Yeah. John was that kind of character. Very, you know, Paul said often about him, he was a very complex man.
Yeah.
As Elvis was, you know.
Yeah.
And I think for that reason, they would have made great mates.
Yeah.
I really do believe they'd have been good friends.
If they'd have been allowed to. Because Colonel Parker didn't like anybody to get too close to Elvis, did he?
Too close to Elvis. No, he never allowed that, no.
All right, great. What a great call. Thanks very much indeed. Listen, all the best for your upcoming shows as well, and lovely to speak to you again, mate.
And you too. Did you know that Colonel Parker and Brian Epstein played roulette that night?
Apparently they did. Yeah, there was a dining table that turned into a roulette wheel, I believe.
That's it. Yeah, I thought I'd leave you with one last quote. It's great talking to you, man.
All right, Juan. Take care.
I love you, Steve.
See you. Bye-bye.
Keep up the good work.
I will. Thanks a lot. Cheers. Bye-bye. Bye. Yeah, great call. If you don't know, that was Juan Lozano, and he is a Elvis tribute artist. And check him out, actually, if you ever get a chance. Great. And he actually does sing other songs as well, not just Elvis. In fact, I remember seeing a a video of him on social media a little while back doing Love of My Life from a Queen, Freddie Mercury. And it was a real coincidence because it was the week that I'd featured that as a song that I wished that Elvis had recorded. So I did the I wished Elvis had recorded Love of My Life. And then Juan goes and sings it. And there was no sort of, he didn't know that I'd picked it and I didn't know that he'd sung it, but it was a bit of a coincidence. Right, we're going to go back to the calls. Stand by Duncan.
Hi, Steve. How are
you? How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. Are you okay? I'm glad you still did the show tonight. We do really appreciate it.
Oh, I tell you, Duncan.
Although you're feeling poorly, you still went ahead with the show because it does make our weekend.
It's touch and go. It's touch and go. No, I'm not too bad, actually. It's probably man flu. I watched your video earlier on, by the way. Great.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Yeah. So I was saying to people earlier on, some old Elvis guy, if you want to watch that, it's you were at the Arches, weren't you, with the Direct from Graceland?
Oh, it was an amazing experience, Steve. Great. I've been to Graceland before, but to be in a position where I was able to actually hold the attendance belt, hold the aviator glasses, and the microphone was something else. I found it quite an emotional experience, I have to say.
They've actually introduced the aviator glasses because when I went there, all you could hold was the belt or the mic.
Yeah, well, when I bought my tickets, that was all that you were able to hold, and I believe it was just a week or so ago that the aviator glasses came over. And what added on to that?
I hope they hadn't cleaned the glasses. I hope you could still see his fingerprints on the lenses.
They allowed you to hold it up so you could look through the lenses.
Oh,
as right. Well, which was good. It was cool to be able to see through the actual lenses that he looked through.
Now, were they sunglasses or were they prescription lenses as well?
One of the two lenses they said was a prescription.
Because he did have quite bad glaucoma in one eye, didn't he?
That's right, yeah. So one of the two lenses was prescription, but both of them were like sunglasses, tinted lenses.
Yeah, fascinating. Great. I'm glad you had a good time. And for anybody that, please do check out Duncan's video on that because it's great to see.
I appreciate that, Steve. Thanks. Thank you.
The Beatles.
On the Beatles thing.
Yeah.
So I voted wary of them.
Okay.
But at the same time, I think he respected them. And I think the wary of them, in a very strange sense, came from the respect for them. I'll explain that if I can.
Yeah.
I think that the fact that he saw the Beatles as artists who were still a bit like Elvis was more in the 50s.
Oh, yeah.
And I think in that sense, it almost brought a magnifying glass up to Elvis that he was stuck in movie contracts that he wasn't happy with. He was stuck in soundtracks that he wasn't as happy with, and he wasn't directing himself. I mean, Elvis, we know, had such his finger on the pulse of music. He loved music and he knew music. You can see that just by seeing the way he spontaneously conducted an orchestra and a band,
yeah,
etc. So he was very, very musical. So he would be aware of musical trends that were going on. He would be aware that he wasn't at the cutting edge at that point either. Mm. So I think in that sense, he was maybe slightly wary, as other callers have said, that they were this sort of raw, up-and-coming kind of rebel type people that he once was. And they were more at the cutting edge musically than Elvis was in the mid-60s. And as was said before, had the meeting happened 68, 69, be it post-comeback special, be it around the time of Memphis Sessions, then I think he might have felt less so. Does that make some kind of sense?
It does, yeah. But why do you think that John said some of the things he did about Elvis? Do you think it was because, like somebody else said, he just blew hot and cold?
Yeah. I mean, I think, and I do respect a lot of the Beatles' music. I respect them as songwriters, and I do listen to some Beatles stuff. I think John was very, very good at provoking reaction in the media. You look at things like the famous bed in for peace and all the rest of it.
Yes.
He knew how to push buttons, and I think he was often deliberately provocative.
Yeah, yeah.
And would say things knowing he would get a reaction.
Yeah, that's my
thought. I think it's unfortunate some of the things he said, but we need to remember that he also said before Elvis, there was nothing.
Yes, that's right. We haven't said that yet. I'm glad you said that.
Because the Beatles wouldn't have been what they were had it not been for Elvis. And I agree with what others have said in the comments tonight, that the Beatles as performers, yes, they were good musically. They were played instruments well. They were good in terms of production and good vocals, particularly from John and Paul. But they didn't have an ounce of the charisma that Elvis had when he performed.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
There wasn't that warmth between them and the audience, that closeness that Elvis had when he performed.
That's for sure.
There was an electricity came off of Elvis when he performed, that the likes of which we've never seen before or since.
Mm, yeah, he definitely had something, didn't he? It. hard to quantify what it was, but he had it.
Absolutely, he had it in spades. And you can see that even at the time that he met the Beatles, with the types of movies he was doing, he lifted those movies beyond what they would otherwise have been because of that charisma, because of that magnetic personality. He had that when he performed musically, when he sang a song.
Yeah.
When he sang any song, it touched your very soul and your heart. And that's rare.
Yeah, it is very, very rare. Yeah, yeah. All right, Duncan, thanks very, very much. That's a great call.
Lovely to speak to you, all Steve. Right. And all the best. You feel better soon.
Oh, thanks very much. Cheers.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's close the poll. Yes, of course, the poll was, how do you think Elvis felt about the Beatles in private? He respected them 42%, wary of them 39%, and indifferent 17%. Now, if I had to vote on that poll, I would have voted wary of them. I think he was just that little bit wary of them. Thanks once again for joining me on Elvis the Ultimate Fan Channel. I'd like to extend an invite to you to join me on Sunday's live shows on the YouTube channel and become a member of the Discord server. We have a lot of Elvis fun on there. I'd love to hear from you during the call-in section during the show when we discuss all things Elvis. That's all for this week. I hope you can join me next time for another podcast from Elvis the Ultimate Fan Channel.